This recording is copyright. IELTSblog.com Listening Practice Tests. Test 7. In the IELTS test, you hear some recordings and you have to answer questions on them. You have time to read the instructions and questions and check your work. All recordings are played only once. The test is in four sections. Now turn to Section 1. Section 1. You will hear a conversation between a man and a woman discussing a holiday the man recently came back from. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 5. You will see that there is an example. This time only, the conversation relating to this will be played first.
Hey Pete, are you back from your holiday then?
Yes, I got back last night.
Where did you go? Wasn't it the US?
No, I went to Canada.
So, Canada is the correct answer. Now the full test will begin. You should answer the questions as you listen, as the recording is not played twice. Listen carefully to the conversation and answer questions 1 to 5.
Hey Pete, are you back from your holiday then?
Yes, I got back last night.
Where did you go? Wasn't it the US?
No, I went to Canada.
So, tell me about it.
It started badly, as I missed my flight.
Oh no, what happened?
I got stuck in a traffic jam in my taxi. Lots of cars were going to a different airport and the whole road was full of traffic.
Oh no. That must have been terrible. Were you really stressed?
I was at first. When I realised that there was no way to get to the flight, though, I felt better, as there was nothing else to do but wait until I spoke to someone at the airport.
Did you have to pay for another flight?
Fortunately not. I could have gone the same day on a later flight, but I would have had to pay for that. I got one the next day without having to pay.
Well, at least that was something. You missed a whole day of holiday, though.
Yes, it was a bit annoying. But I had only myself to blame. I know the roads can be bad. I should have stayed nearby to the airport the night before.
Did the airline put you up in a hotel?
It wasn't their fault that I missed the flight, so no. They did give me a food voucher, though, as I had to hang around for a long time. In the end, I stayed with my old friend Mike. He doesn't live too far from the airport. I had to get a taxi there, though, and back again the next morning, and that wasn't cheap.
How was the flight itself?
I was flying to Toronto, and it took around 7.5 hours. And fortunately, I had left my book in the main check-in baggage, so the time passed slowly.
Why didn't you watch a movie?
That makes me sick on a plane. It's hard for me to drop off to sleep as well, as my neck gets stiff. It was good that I had two interesting people who sat next to me, so we had a conversation about Canada off and on for the whole flight. I learned quite a few things that I didn't know.
I hope all the disasters were over by the time you reached Canada.
Almost. It was quick to get through immigration, but then I found after a very long wait that there had been a mix-up back in England with my missed flight. My bags never made it on the plane, and no one knew where they were. I had to spend 24 hours in Toronto with only the clothes I'd travelled in.
You're lucky it wasn't winter.
Absolutely. I'd have frozen to death without winter clothing. Anyway. That was the last disaster. The rest of the holiday was great.
Before the conversation continues, you have some time to look at questions 6 to 10. Now listen carefully and answer questions 6 to 10.
How was Toronto?
It was great. There was so much to see and do there. I needed more time, really, as I was only there for 3 days. I needed a week.
What sort of things did you do then?
I wanted to orientate myself to begin with, so I decided to go to the CN Tower and look around. Unfortunately, the lifts were closed for a week because of maintenance, so I had to give that a miss.
That was a shame.
Yes. Instead, the first morning I visited Fort York in the western downtown area. You know I have an interest in military history. There was an exhibition on there about 19th century military uniforms. It was great.
I can imagine that you would have liked that. Did you manage to visit the Royal Ontario Museum? I told you about that before you left.
I checked out their website, and it just wasn't something that I felt would interest me. I appreciate you telling me about it, though. While I was researching it, I found out about the Air and Space Museum, and I saw that on the second morning.
How about the Art Gallery of Toronto?
Again, I didn't think that would be of interest to me, but you know, I decided I should be a bit more open, so I gave it a go. It wasn't the most exciting experience in the world for me, but in the end, I was glad I tried it out.
Did you get to see any sporting action when you were there? I know you're a big sports fan.
I wanted to go to a hockey game. I went to the stadium, but it was out of season. The Hockey Hall of Fame made up for it, though. I spent nearly 5 hours there looking round.
It's a shame about the game, though.
Yes, but I did get to see the Blue Jays play at the Rogers Centre.
Is that football?
No. They have football matches at the Rogers Centre, but this was baseball.
Did you understand the rules?
I think so. It was a bit complicated, but I found it easier than football. There was also a guy sitting next to me who explained. He was a real basketball fan, but he knew his baseball too.
It sounds like you were pretty busy.
Yes, and that was just the first 2 days.
That is the end of section one. You will now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 2. Section 2. You will hear a man giving some people information about a farm visit. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 15. Now listen carefully to the information talk and answer questions 11 to 15.
Hello everyone. Today you've come to the open day at Sunnyside Farm. To start with, I'd like to tell you a little about our history and what we do here. The Wilson family have been farming here at Sunnyside since the start of the last century. To start with, it was mainly an arable farm, which means that there were no animals. To start with, Sunnyside specialised in growing vegetables. The produce would then be sold in local markets around the area. At that time, the farm became a major source of work for the local population, especially in summertime and the harvest period. After the First World War, the farm turned towards meat production. The farm had a herd of cows for producing beef, and also several hundred sheep to produce lamb every spring. Rather uncommon for a British farm, the meat produced was sold for export. This carried on for around 50 years, with the interruption, of course, of the Second World War. At the time of the war, the farm actually closed down for a while, as most labourers and the farmer himself were away in the army. The farm started up again when peace returned. In the early 70s, the farmer at that time saw that he would earn better margins producing milk. He bought a herd of dairy cattle and sold the other animals. This was a major change and quite a big commercial risk, as the farmer also had to equip his dairy to get the milk from the cows, and this was quite expensive. However, the gamble paid off, and Sunnyside became a successful producer of milk for the whole area. Around 10 years ago, milk became less and less profitable. This was because some big companies created increased competition after they bought up some of the surrounding farms and started producing cheap milk. The farmers at Sunnyside at that time are the same ones as today, Mr. and Mrs. Wilson. They had been interested in farm tourism for some time, as they had seen it work quite well up in Scotland, where they had gone on a holiday. They saw how popular this was, and after some research, they saw that no one else in the area was doing anything like this. After a year of planning, they took the plunge and bought a wide variety of different farm animals that people could come and see and interact with. Naturally, this project is predominantly targeted at children, though you'd be surprised how many adults come by themselves for the experience.
You now have some time to look at questions 16 to 20. Now listen to the rest of the information talk and answer questions 16 to 20.
So, let me now tell you about some of the things that we do here. We have a number of different animals for people to interact with and other things to do as well. To start with, people can visit the old dairy, which is where the cows used to be milked. Here, there is a small museum on dairy farming. A short film is played here every half an hour. If you actually want to try milking some cows yourself, go to the West Stable. This takes place twice a day at 9:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Another area of farming that we cover is the lamb industry. In the East Barn you can see the sheep close up, and in season you can see and feed the lambs. There is also an exhibition on the history of the sheepdog, which of course has always been a vital companion of the sheep farmer. Every afternoon at 2 p.m. you can see an exhibition of sheepdog skills in the South Field. This goes on for around 25 minutes. In the North Field we have a favourite for all ages. There you can find our donkeys and horses. These can be fed or ridden on. It's important to have adults with children if they want to try the riding out. If the children are very young or nervous, it's best to try a donkey. All our donkeys are very placid and good-natured. In 3 months, the horses and donkeys will move to the West Field, as we are planning a campsite in the North Field. People will be then able to stay overnight at the farm in tents or caravans. I've mentioned quite a few locations so far. Don't worry, just outside this building is a map of all the activities and where to find them. Any questions so far?
That is the end of section 2. You will now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to section 3. Section 3. You will hear a man and a woman discussing some work training. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 25. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 25.
Hello, Dominic. Can I have a word?
Oh, hello, Grace. Of course you can.
You know, you applied for that extra training on the new computer software that we're using.
Yes.
Well, I managed to push it through.
That's great. I thought it would be rejected because it was too expensive.
There were certainly objections raised to that, but the main problem was that they didn't want you away on the days of the training. You'll be away in San Francisco while we're having the big sales meeting.
So what happened?
I said I'd be able to fill in for you if you told me the key things needed for the customers.
Thanks so much, Grace.
When can we meet so that you can fill me in then?
How about just before the normal start of work on Monday? We can arrive an hour early and I'll have everything ready.
I drive my daughters to school on Mondays, so it's hard for me to get here that early. How about at the end of the working day on Friday?
I'm leaving here at lunchtime that day, as I have a meeting in town about the new parts we're ordering. The only time I'm really free is Thursday morning.
I'm in a meeting that time. Look, I'll ask my friend Angie to take my daughter into school on Monday. That way we can meet as you first suggested.
Good. Thanks, Grace. You'll need to have your computer with you so that I can upload some stuff.
Will there be a lot to do?
Not really. I can explain all the rationale behind the design decisions to you, and if you make some brief notes, that'll be enough. I'll also explain the model that we've made to show the customers. It'll be quite straightforward, as it's similar to the last one we did for the previous contract. The model is in my office. Finally, I'll also upload the sales forecast to you, as you'll need that to prove that our ideas are right.
Good. That's all clear. Now, do you have any questions about the training? I've just read up about it for you.
Oh, good. Well, first of all, I'll need to stay overnight in San Francisco. How shall I pay for everything? I paid in advance myself last time and then got the money back from the company.
That's always a bit of a pain, though. You have to collect and keep all the receipts safe. I know the company cards is not being used, so I'll make sure you get that.
That's good. I don't like having to pay these expensive hotels myself, as my credit card is nearly always maxed out. The company is not keen on giving out cash in advance, either.
No, that's not popular here.
The next thing is how the company would like me to travel to the training. The bus is the cheapest, but I like to work on my computer, and that's not very easy on a bus.
No, it isn't. It's also not really far enough for a plane journey, either. Is there a train?
Yes. Amtrak has a service there.
What would you prefer?
Anything but the bus, really. I'd even drive rather than take the bus and miss the work on the journey.
I'll make a train booking for you. Driving will be too tiring for you, and you want to arrive fresh and alert.
Okay, thanks.
You now have some time to look at questions 26 to 30. Now listen to the rest of the discussion and answer questions 26 to 30.
Now, I want to explain where your training is. It's at the Green Bay Business Park. You know where that is?
Yeah, I've been there before.
Do you know the Forward Thinking Training Center as well?
No, I've never been to that training company before.
Okay, so you arrive at the main gates, go in and take the middle road. That will take you past the mobile phone company on the right and the GPS center on the left.
Just a moment, Grace. I'll just get some paper. I'll need to write it down or I'll forget.
No problem.
Okay, here we are. I'm just making a note of what you just said. Right, carry on.
So after you pass the mobile phone company and the GPS center, take the next right and then the first left. Go 100 meters down that road and Forward Thinking will be on the left with the radio station opposite.
That seems fairly straightforward. You know, I think I do know this actually. I went there last year for an accountancy training.
That's right. I went on that for a different account there as well.
Yes, it was a good training. So I know where it is now. When you pass Forward Thinking, then there's a dead end with a recycling depot.
Yes, that's right. You've got it.
Now, do I need to take anything with me? My company ID, for instance?
Let's have a look at this letter. No ID is required. It says you only need to bring this confirmation letter. You can take your computer for making any notes you like.
Okay, that'll be useful.
Yes, it says here too that lunch will be provided and drinks throughout the day. They'll also give you a password to get online there, so you can keep in touch with us if necessary.
That is the end of section 3. You will now have half a minute to check your answers. Now turn to Section 4. Section 4. You will hear a presentation on obesity and sugary drinks. First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for coming to my presentation today, which is on the link between childhood obesity and sugary drinks. Childhood obesity is a worrying phenomenon that affects many developed societies. Childhood obesity rates have doubled throughout the past 30 years in the United States for children aged 2 to 5 and 12 to 19, and tripled in the age group of 6 to 11. Many social and environmental pressures lead to greater obesity in children. Chief among these influences is the wide variety and availability of sugar-sweetened drinks that contain little to no nutritional value. These beverages include soft drinks, sports drinks, fruit drinks, flavored teas and coffees, and energy drinks. Throughout the past 10 to 15 years, these drinks have exploded onto the consumer scene, flooding grocery stores, gas stations, convenience stores, and vending machines. Americans have doubled their consumption of soda pop in the last 25 years, a trend that closely follows the obesity epidemic. The average American drinks 1.6 cans of soda pop a day, which is more than 500 cans a year. Soda drinking is particularly rampant among teenagers. Data indicates that soft drinks account for 13% of a teenager's caloric intake, by far the largest source of calories in his or her diet. For decades, milk was the most common beverage consumed by children, but by the mid-1990s, boys and girls were drinking twice as much soda pop as milk. One recent study has demonstrated a strong link between consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages and childhood obesity. Although some studies conflict regarding the causality between sugar-sweetened beverages and obesity, a number of research studies confirm the findings that increased soft drink and sugar-laden beverage consumption is a risk factor for obesity. Not only do sugar-sweetened drinks likely lead to obesity, they are also associated with tooth decay and fragile bones. Energy and soft drinks can also contain large amounts of caffeine. The amounts of caffeine found in such drinks are often about 10 grams per ounce. With that in mind, take a look at the amount of caffeine found in other beverages. Most experts recommend that children consume well under 100 grams of caffeine per day. The pharmacological effects of caffeine are notable in children, most commonly seen as hyperactivity, sleep disturbances, and restlessness. Drinking large amounts of caffeine can also be associated with high blood pressure and frequent headaches. Researchers have reported that a new practice among college-age students is the simultaneous consumption of energy drinks and alcohol, which allows greater consumption of alcohol since alertness is perpetuated by the energy drink. In addition, the sugar content of energy drinks is comparable or higher than most soft drinks with, for example, a typical energy drink containing 27 grams of sugar. Alcohol usually contains a lot of sugar, and this can lead to massive sugar intakes for people who mix energy drinks with alcohol. So what can be done to limit the amount of the nutritionally poor liquid calories that children and adolescents are consuming? On an individual basis, the best approach is simply to replace soda and sports drinks with water or low-fat milk in children's diets. Water is the best hydrator available. Low-fat milk not only hydrates, but delivers calcium, protein, and vitamin D. What happens at school may be out of the immediate control of a parent, but parents can petition the school to eliminate machines that sell soft drinks and energy drinks in favor of bottled water. Children should be watched at home regarding their choice of liquids. A glass of 100% fruit juice per day is fine, but excessive soda, sports drinks, or energy drinks is unhealthy. Parents need to provide guidance to their children so that they know and understand this. Moderation in guiding children, of course, is appropriate. Children who are constantly deprived of treats are more likely to binge eat or drink. Studies suggest that children who are raised by parents who exert excessive dietary restraint may be more likely to become obese. Also, the role models presented by parents are important. Children possess the ability to regulate their caloric intake. However, if they see their parents struggle with the effort to control food or drink intake and the conscious restriction of intake to control weight, they may pattern their own eating and drinking behavior after their parents instead of allowing their internal energy regulation to guide them. This, in turn, seems to lead to greater obesity in children. In conclusion, parents should adopt healthy eating and drinking patterns, limiting the consumption of soft drinks and other sugar-sweetened drinks, and to do so without obsession. Helping children develop a love for the refreshing taste of water or a cold glass of milk will pay immediate health rewards for children, as well as dividends for their future health and weight control. Careful education of today's youth will be the key to them avoiding these destructive drinks.
That is the end of Section 4. You will now have half a minute to check your answers. That is the end of Listening Test 7. In the IELTS test, you would now have 10 minutes to transfer your answers to the Listening Answer Sheet.